Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our Hideaway Studio in East County. Today we open our show with a report on what information Donald Trump's lawyers are hoping to exclude from a lawsuit against Trump University set to be heard soon right here in San Diego. Then we'll share a story about a student athlete who was injured in a lightning strike at Grossmont High School, raising some troubling questions over why football practice wasn't canceled earlier amid a raging thunderstorm. We'll also have some lightning safety tips from the National Weather Service. Then on Crime Beat, we'll have details on a suspect sought by the sheriff for attempting to kidnap a teenage girl in Santee. We've also got some good news to share about our latest honors in the San Diego Press Club's Excellence in Journalism Awards. Today we have a very special newsmaker interview with famed investigative reporter Greg Palast, who is in town for the premiere of his new movie, Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. Find out who's trying to rig the 2016 presidential election, how they're doing it, and what you can help do to stop it on today's show. On the second half of our show today, we'll be speaking with Cajon Valley Union School District candidates Rebecca Irwin and Devorah Fox. Then on Destination East County, hear about all the most fun festivals and events coming up across our region, from Halloween happenings to a historic homes tour, an arts and wine festival, some November holiday events, and more. We'll have all of these stories on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
Federal Judge Gonzalo Curiel in San Diego has turned down a request by Donald Trump's lawyers who sought to dismiss a case alleging that Trump University defrauded students in its real estate seminars. So the case is headed to trial, but not until after the election. Trump's attorneys have also asked the judge to bar statements from the presidential campaign about his personal conduct to be considered as evidence in the trial. Judge Curiel will hear that request on November 10th. On tape, Trump boasted about groping women, but later claimed that was just locker room talk. Over a dozen women have since come forward to claim he sexually assaulted them, though Trump denies all of these allegations. Trump's lawyers don't want the court to hear about that or about controversies over his corporate bankruptcies, tax issues, beauty pageants, casinos, and his charitable foundation. The attorneys, in a sweeping move, have even sought to exclude Trump's own statements in his campaign speeches and tweets, as well as all audios and videos released during the campaign. Various nonpartisan groups have found that Trump lied far more than any of his opponents in the primary and general election. The attorney also wants to exclude information about students' financial situations. Trump previously tried unsuccessfully to remove Judge Curiel from hearing the case because of his Mexican descent, even though Curiel is a citizen born in the U.S. Trump has made disparaging remarks likening Mexican immigrants to rapists and murderers, also backing building of a border wall. The civil trial over Trump University is set to begin on November 28th. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is Miriam Raftery with a special report on a safety issue in the Grossmont Union High School District. On Monday, a 14-year-old football player at Grossmont High School was injured by a lightning bolt that struck nearby while he was walking toward the locker room after football practice around 6:15 p.m. Numerous witnesses report seeing lightning strikes throughout the afternoon and early evening. So why wasn't the football practice canceled much earlier? According to an investigative report that East County Magazine conducted back in 2010, the district's policy is for student athletes to immediately seek safe shelter at the first sound of thunder and remain sheltered until at least half an hour after the last sound of thunder. Back in 2010, we reported on a coach at El Capitan High School who kept players on a field during a lightning storm in violation of that policy in the same Grossmont Union High School district. As for the Grossmont football player injured Monday, however, Catherine Martin, public information officer for the district, said student safety is paramount, but she insists all district protocols for inclement weather were followed to the letter. According to Martin, the coaching staff, which includes a fire battalion chief and a retired peace officer, prepped the team before practice began and had them leave the field immediately at the first sign of lightning. Paramedics assessed the injured student, who couldn't move at first and had difficulty speaking. His parents later took him to a hospital. Fortunately, he reportedly had no heart damage and is expected to recover, although he told 10 News he had pain and tingling in his limbs. But questions remain as to why that coaching staff didn't cancel practice earlier. The National Weather Service had warned of severe thunderstorms in its forecast. Lightning was visible in the area for hours before the strike. Now, I was driving a few blocks away from that school, and I saw several lightning flashes around 5:15. That's an hour before the student was injured. I also heard thunder starting around 4:30 p.m. Several neighbors on the Mount Helix Next Door Forum near the school confirmed additional lightning sightings in the area. One mother wrote that lightning was present all around the campus starting shortly before 3 p.m. and continued for some time, leading to cancellation of her son's plans to play basketball. Several other residents reported seeing lightning or hearing thunder later in the afternoon, with heavy rain and thunder around 6 p.m. in the vicinity. Alex Tardy, the warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service in San Diego, told East County Magazine that in the 15 minutes before that student was struck, there were 12 strikes in and around the El Cajon region. He adds, the forecast had thunderstorms for late afternoon, early evening time frame, and across Southern California we had over 3,000 total strikes, which is extremely rare. About 2,000 of those actually hit the ground. Tardy, who also happens to coach youth baseball, had this to say when asked if a sports practice should have been canceled under those circumstances. When you have a forecast that says you will have thunderstorms, and there have already been 2,000 strikes, and you see black clouds, what other confirmation do you need, he said. He acknowledged that some parents may become upset if a practice is canceled, but he affirmed, if we were asked, we would advise to call it off when you hear thunder. He adds that even if you don't hear thunder, you should take action and protect students if you see a dark cloud approaching. School safety rules for lightning should extend beyond sports teams to also cover students on campus or on buses, Tardy adds, even if that means delaying leaving or not letting students off a bus during a thunderstorm. The National Weather Service actually has new guidelines that advise taking cover as soon as the sky appears threatening, since the first lightning strike can be deadly. Though rare, lightning has been known to travel 50 miles or more. Dennis Richardson is the photographer who notified the Grossmont District back in 2010 when he saw El Capitan teams practicing during a storm with lightning striking only a half mile away. He says that even after the coach was told to dismiss the practice, once he complained to the district, they released kids to a parking lot where they were hanging on a metal chain-length fence with lightning striking all around, Richardson says. He adds that when he used to head up construction crews, if I heard thunder, I'd take my whole crew to cover. By contrast, he believes local schools aren't doing enough to protect kids from being hit by lightning. Tardy, the National Weather Service meteorologist, says the only safe places during a thunderstorm are inside a building or in a vehicle. If you are caught outdoors, avoid high ground. Never stand under a tree or other tall object that could act as a lightning rod. Get out of water, such as lakes or pools that can conduct electricity, and don't touch anything metal. Lightning can travel through the ground too, though, so being outdoors in a storm is never safe, as the Grossmont student learned the hard way. Now, the Grossmont student is fortunate to have survived without apparent serious injury. It could have been far worse. In 2014, an entire soccer team, all 11 players, died in the Democratic Republic of the Congo due to a lightning strike during their soccer game. In Florida, Broward School District faced a lawsuit recently after a junior varsity football player was struck in the chest and killed by lightning moments after a game was ended due to severe weather. The National Collegiate Athletic Association Coach and Sports Medicine Handbook provides guidelines for canceling games and practices when lightning threatens. Many professional and collegiate games, including televised events, are routinely canceled when lightning threatens. The guide also advises players who feel their lives could be in danger that they should evacuate the field, and adds that coaches should not punish them. And that's good advice that parents might pass along to their high school and younger students here. The National Weather Service's Lightning Safety Report for Schools advises that in the United States, the largest number of lightning casualties occurs in open areas, including sports fields and playgrounds. The activity with the fastest rising lightning casualty rate is outdoor sports and recreation, which includes school activities. And thus, the National Weather Service concludes it is important for coaches, referees, and leaders of other outside school activities to practice good lightning safety. Parents who are concerned about lightning safety at their children's school should contact the school district and let the County Board of Education know if you believe your district is not doing enough to protect students from lightning strikes.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Jonathan Getz with the Crime Beat Report. The Sheriff's Office and San Diego Crime Stoppers have released a sketch of a suspect wanted in connection with the attempted kidnapping of an 18-year-old woman in Santee. The teenager had visited a coffee shop on October 6th around noon and was walking back to her car parked at Mast Park on Carlton Hills Boulevard when she realized she was being followed by two men in a silver sedan. A man in the passenger seat was catcalling her and making rude comments. The young woman walked faster, but the car sped up. She became afraid and started running towards her car. As she unlocked her vehicle, the passenger in the sedan grabbed her arm. The victim believes he was trying to pull her into the sedan. She was able to pull her arm free from the suspect's grip. She got into her car, locked the doors, and drove away. The suspect in the passenger side of the silver sedan is described as black, 20 to 30 years old, wearing a black baseball cap and black sunglasses. If you recognize the suspect or have information about this crime, call the Santee Sheriff's Station at 619-956-4000 or the Crime Stoppers Anonymous Tip Line at 888-580-8477. Crime Stoppers is offering up to a $1,000 reward to anyone with information that leads to an arrest in this case. Anonymous email and text messages can be sent in via sdcrimestoppers.org.
This is Miriam Raftery, the editor of East County Magazine, and I am proud to announce that we have picked up 3 awards in San Diego Press Club's 2016 Excellence in Journalism Awards competition. Our entry titled Border Fire Leaves Residents Burned Over Bureaucratic Bungling won the wild card category, and this year that category was Border Region Issues. That means in the wildcard category that our media outlet beat out media in all categories for this prestigious award, including TV, radio, newspapers, and magazines countywide. In the daily newspapers and websites category, we also won second place for multicultural reporting with our article titled East County Chaldeans' Plea for Release of Iraqi Christians Detained at Otay. In addition, we picked up a third place award for environmental reporting with our story titled Planning Commission Guns Down Appeal Allows Covert Canyon to Conduct Military Firearms Training Amid Federal Forest Lands. Since our inception in 2008, East County Magazine has won a total of 97 awards, including many of the top journalism awards given in the San Diego region. As nonprofit community media, we reflect the public interest, not special interests. You can volunteer to become a citizen journalist, donate or underwrite our nonprofit news service by contacting editor at eastcountymagazine.org, and you can read our news at eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice, recording at our Hideaway studio in East County. And today our very special guest is Greg Pallas, the world-famous investigative journalist. He's been called the most important investigative reporter of our time, up there with Woodward and Bernstein by The Guardian, an American hero by Martin Luther King III. He's broken front-page stories for BBC Television Newsnight, The Guardian, Nation Magazine, and now Rolling Stone Magazine, many of them exposing fraud and election theft schemes. And he's got roots right here in East County, where his parents have been longtime residents and his mother, Gladys, still resides in La Mesa. Greg's new movie is The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, a tale of billionaires and ballot bandits, which had a successful opening Monday night in San Diego and is now available on DVD and video on demand. Greg, welcome to the show.
Glad to be with you, Miriam.
Well, it's an honor. You've been one of my heroes for a long time, one of the role models we all aspire to in the journalism world. Now, this is a real-life detective story, really, told in a film noir style. And you've got some really high-profile guests and actors in there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, technically, it's up for an Academy Award as a documentary, but we do have Shailene Woodley, the star of Snowden and Divergent. We have Ice-T and Richard Belzer. We have Rosario Dawson, and we have Santa Claus. It's actually Ed Asner in a Santa outfit. And so the studios wanted to know what's real and what isn't real. Well, the answer is when you see Santa Claus, don't tell the kids this. When you see Santa Claus, he doesn't exist. That's Ed Asner in a Santa outfit. And we also do something very different. It's film noir, but if you've seen things like Sin City, in fact, we use some of the effects from there. We have 30,000 special effects in here, including cartoons. Cause I like cartoons. I like Santa Claus. I like Rosario Dawson. So I wanted them all in my film. And, even though it is, you're actually following me. I'm Greg Palast on an investigation, real live detective investigation of how the Trumpistas are going to steal the 2016 election before it happens.
And we want to hear all about that. And you also have Willie Nelson in there, I understand.
Yes.
You've got a lot of country music fans in East County.
Yes. And, Willie Nelson's playing this, stoner musician who lives in a bus. So it's not a big stretch for him. He's actually himself in the film.
Typecast.
As I can explain in a minute, because, how they're stealing it is big stuff. And that's the point.
That's the important thing. Even though the movie has a lot of humor and light moments in it, it's about a very serious subject that we should all be concerned about. Now, interestingly, Donald Trump has been making accusations lately in the news of a rigged election if he loses. And on the other side, you've got some people complaining that maybe the Russians are going to try to hack the election to help Trump. So who's right? Who's really doing the rigging? And who should the voters be concerned about, Greg?
Well, believe it or not, Trump is absolutely right. The election's rigged, and he should know because it's his buddies, his billionaire buddies, who are rigging it. Now, you're following me. He didn't just start this stuff. He's been saying this, by the way, for 2 years. The media just picked this up.
Interesting.
So 2 years ago, we started getting word that Trump and the GOP operatives were claiming that there are, you have to listen to his phrase. He said, the election's rigged because people are voting many, many times. There are millions of people who shouldn't be on the voter rolls because they're voting more than once. So they're registered in two places.
Now, ties in with your investigation.
So that's what happened. So as soon as I heard this, I said, really? Millions of people voting twice? Now, you vote twice, Miriam, and you go to the slammer for 5 years. Now, so who's going to do that? And who's going to organize millions of people to do that? So I said, well, how many people have you arrested? I'm calling all these Republican secretaries of state who are making this accusation. These are the little Catherine Harrises that run the voting systems of Republican
Harris
state.
Catherine Harris was in charge of the
count in Florida back in 2000. Exactly.
That, very controversial.
So all these Catherine Harrises, I asked them for the names of these ne'er-do-well double voters, these criminals. And they said, well, you can't have it, because it's a criminal investigation. We can't give you criminal investigation records. But if you know Greg Palast, and as you can see through the radio, I am wearing a fedora. So you know I'm a real investigator. And I was a real investigator before I was an investigative reporter.
You were.
I was a gumshoe. And and so when you say that document's confidential, that's the first thing I get. And with my
the radar goes
with
up.
My sidekick, Lenny Badpenny, that's really her name, and the rest of our team, we
sounds like
got
a James Bond character.
Very, except that it's the real thing. You'll meet her in the film.
Okay.
And so we got a hold of the list, because as soon as you say confidential, that's what I get. And so I have millions of names of voters who are supposedly voting twice. So who are these guys? And we dip into the list, and you see all through this film.
How did you get a hold of the list? It was top secret, Greg.
Well, as you see in the film, we have cartoons, right? I got the guy who did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So we have all these cartoon characters with me. And there's a little birdie. And a little birdie's always dropping envelopes on my desk. So the little birdie dropped an envelope on my desk with the names of the voters, the discs.
Super secret confidential.
Super secret confidential source. Super duper secret. And what happened was we went through the list, and sure enough, in this big secret list, there were millions of voters voting twice, like Maria Hernandez, is a woman, for example, who voted in Louisiana. Another Maria Hernandez who voted in Georgia.
Well, there must be a lot of Maria Hernandez around the nation.
You're saying that Maria Hernandez is a common name, but not for a Republican. And so if they're saying Maria Hernandez votes in one state and Maria Hernandez votes in another state, what they do is, now they should arrest, if Maria Hernandez is voting twice, arrest her. But they don't.
So
they just take away your vote.
Did they check to see if it's the same middle name, driver's license, social security number?
Well, let's take Maria Hernandez. Mm-hmm. In one state, she votes as Maria Cristina Hernandez. In the other state, she votes as Maria Isabel Hernandez. Now, you might say, hey, that's probably just two different women named Maria Hernandez with different middle names. Not to the Republican Party, not to Trump, not to the billionaires behind him. Now, you might think this is nuts stuff, and it's just Trump doing his crazy thing, blowing through his comb over. No, no, no. We're talking about Republican operatives who've been on this. Trump is simply repeating them.
Yeah.
He's not giving the orders at all. And what's happening is that so you literally have in this list of
seven point two million, right?
7.2 million suspects, 2 million names, middle names don't match.
Amazing.
2 million, and yet these people are going to be losing their votes.
And this is a computer program.
It's a computer program.
Cross-check.
Interstate cross-check, which is created by Trump's crony, Trump's operative named Chris Kobach. Now, who is Chris Kobach? He's the guy who came up with the idea that Trump should build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. That's him. He's also the guy who wrote SB 1070, the driving wall Brown law for Arizona. He's in charge of the voting system of Kansas. And you say, well, who cares about Kansas? They're not a swing nothing. But 30 Republican secretaries of state have handed this guy their entire voter files, and he's going through hunting down illegal voters, which basically it's first and last name. Now, of course, you might say that's ridiculous, but I had to discover that. See, no American journalist even asked for that list, let alone analyzed it. I put this, by the way, in Rolling Stone, and I got exactly zero calls from American mainstream newspapers saying, and then you have to understand, it's a cover story in Rolling Stone.
This is why alternative media such as KNSJ or East County Magazine, for that matter, is so important, because this is where you voters can get the truth. You can get stories like this that you're not going to see on the corporate-funded media. You know, we all know there's about five or six corporations that control most of what you see and hear now out there in the mainstream media.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. By the way, since KNSJ is the only place you're going to hear this, you're going to do two things. You're going to get the info. You're going to get the DVD. You can download it from Amazon. You can stream it, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you go to gregpalast.com and you get the DVD there and make a donation to our not-for-profit foundation, and you write in the note, KNSJ, KNSJ, then we can split the proceeds with your favorite radio station, your weapon of mass instruction in San Diego, KNSJ. So go to gregpalast.com, donate for DVD.
Yeah, and that's gregpalast.com.
Yes, that's good, Greg Palast. gregpalast.com. Put in KNSJ so we can split the proceeds.
Excellent.
And it's, by the way, it's entirely tax deductible because we are, and you are, a not-for-profit entity. Believe me, we're not for profit. So go to, and by the way, you'll get another bonus. If you go to gregpalast.com, you can download the comic book of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Banners. That gives you the movie, but with like word balloons.
It'll make you laugh and make you cry, probably.
Yes. And so here's the thing. We have a lot. We have Santa Claus. We have Rosario Dawson. We have Willie Nelson, who is on the list, by the way. Willie Nelson is on this list of double voters. That's not a joke. It's not made up. People think I made that up for the film. No. Willie Nelson voted as Willie Nelson apparently several times, and he does have a bus with a lot of state stickers on it, so you can see how he could get away with it. But he also voted once, according to the GOP operatives on their secret list. They said that he voted once as Willie Mae Nelson.
Willie Mae.
And so they not only don't match middle names, they don't match, and they have fathers and sons like James Brown Jr., James Brown Sr., but they don't check the genitals.
They didn't really do this with a lot of older white male voters. Maybe Willie Nelson might be an exception, but for the most part, from what I understand and reading on your site, it has been minority voters, people who have names that would be common to Asians and Latinos and African Americans.
The Korean American Civil Rights Organization, Asian American Civil Rights Organization, 18 Million Rising told us. And you'll see in the film. Yeah. There's Kim, there's Ho, there's Lee, and Park, and that's Korea, right?
Pretty much.
And so now why would they go after Korean voters? What's the point? The answer is Asian Americans used to vote Republican in America. Now they're voting 80% Democrat. What that means is they're voting as if they turn black. And I'm not going to, because there's so many punchlines in the film, I don't have to give away too much, but we have a section on Asian American, the attack on the Asian American voters, which is, we call it, voting Gangnam Style. And we have these Asian American kids doing breakdancing to, voting Gangnam Style. And suddenly what's happened to the Asian American community from the GOP's point of view is that they're voting as if they've turned black, and pop, 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 these kids turn into John Lewis. You actually have Congressman John Lewis dancing Gangnam Style. So they've turned black. They literally, in the film, turn black so that you get the point. Because from the GOP view, that's what's happened to them.
Voting Gangnam Style, that is just fascinating. So, Greg, has anything positive happened since you did all this wonderful investigating? Have you managed to get any of these people's voting rights restored? Or
Here's what's happening. Number one, we've sent out the warning, and we've actually saved a lot of voters. We've got a few states to back off this vicious attack on voters of color. There's many, many tricks, okay? And also the Congressional Black Caucus. If you go to gregpalace.com and you get your free comic book, you can also sign the petition by the Congressional Black Caucus, in which Alcee Hastings, the dean of the caucus, has said, look, I'm a federal judge, former federal judge, and I know a criminal conspiracy when I see it.
Wow.
So he's demanding not only an investigation of this sleazy little racist trick, he's also demanding some indictments, because it's the new Ku Klux Klan, but instead of white sheets, they're using spreadsheets. It's lynching by laptop. Now,
absolutely.
In the film, we give you this stuff. Now you say, oh my God, I don't want to see something that grim all the time. The answer is, don't worry, guys. We'll take care of it. We have cartoons. I like Santa Claus. I like cartoons. Right. I like, Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
So I have these. All of that in the film.
And this is not the first time you've caught the Republican Party, attempting to steal votes or disenfranchise voters. I remember the entire caging voter scandal
and that was in
Florida.
So what happened in 2000 is I uncovered that Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush removed tens of thousands of black voters from the voter rolls by calling them criminals and felons and terrible ex-cons who can't vote. In fact, their only crime, 56,000 black men, their only crime was voting while black.
Yeah.
And that's what picked the president of the United States in the year 2000. There's another trick known as, which we call caging, which I uncovered with my partner at Rolling Stone, Bobby Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the film too, but he's saying, oh my God, it's good for you. It's like the petroleum broadcast system. No, it's not white guys in front of bookshelves. We do this as a cartoon. I got, like I say, the guy from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and it's a Saturday morning cartoon with a dynamic duo of Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush knocking out all those bad criminal felons. So you get to laugh when you see the destruction of America's democracy, the rigging of election in real time.
And with these older elections, you had to, despite mountains of proof, these caging lists you got that were actually tied into Karl Rove and the White House, you had the emails to prove.
Right, from the White House, basically figuring out how to wipe out, you'll love this, black soldiers who had gone to Iraq.
Yeah.
They said, oh, well, they don't live in, they're not in America anymore. Excuse me. Go yeah. to so like think about this.
If they don't
go to Iraq.
Just, yeah.
Lose your vote. Mission accomplished, as far as the Republicans were concerned.
Shocking.
And this thing was part of the scheme which helped yeah. Bush win the second election. But then they almost stole it in 12. You'll see that. And you're going to see how they're going to try to steal it now. You say, well, I know a lot of people are thinking, hey, Trump's toast, so we don't care. No, 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 no. You have to understand, we follow the billionaires behind this stuff. One guy is named the Vulture. He's the number one donor to the Republican Party.
And what's his name?
Well, he's known as the Vulture, even in by his buddies Charming in the industry, name. But he is, goes by the name Paul Singer. Now, I jump Singer in this film, by the way. That's the other thing that American reporters don't do.
What happens when you caught up with this character?
I know. I actually sneak up. What we do is we plan these elaborate jumps. I use war correspondents, guys with wartime experience, because I have to ambush them, and often they're surrounded by armed guards. You have to be very careful.
This is like you guys thought 60 minutes confrontations were good with Mike Wallace.
That's all set up. This is the real thing. And in fact, one of the reasons I wear a fedora, as you'll see in the film, and now I won't be able to use that trick anymore, but Miss Badpenny has sewed in a camera into the brim of the hat.
Clever.
And so, yes, that's really true. And we really, you'll see a scene that's shot through my hat, not through my shoe. That's Maxwell Smart. but it's very Austin Powers in some way and very Columbo. But the thing is, you get a story you don't get any other way. But here's the deal. We go through those billionaires who are behind Donald Trump. Now you say, well, wait, Trump's a billionaire. No, he isn't. He just plays one on TV. You get to meet people like Singer, the Vulture. Now, Singer, the Vulture, hasn't given a dime to Trump. He doesn't care. Let him fall over a cliff. What they care about is the United States Senate and the U.S. Congress. Mm. The Kochs haven't given Trump one penny. What they care about is the United States Senate and, in their case, the House of Representatives.
So they could be stealing votes for that, not just for the president.
Right. So right now, it doesn't matter who's president if you keep a GOP Congress. Now, I'm not for the GOP. I'm not for the Democrats, the Reds, the Greens, the Oranges. I don't care. My point is that everyone should be able to vote. And I'm telling you how these guys are making sure they know there's not enough white guys to elect Donald Trump or a Republican Congress today. So what you have to do is you have to get rid of the non-white guys. And that's what they're doing with a series of 10 tricks. Now, we go through it like an Uncle Wiggly game board.
Yeah.
Again, as a cartoon to show you this obstacle course that it takes for minority voters in America to make it all the way to getting their vote counted. But then we also show you those billionaires. I confront them. We show up. Lenny Badpenny and I, in a powerboat at a Hampton soiree. There's literally a dozen billionaires having dinner together. Oh. And we join them because we look like we're part of their scene and they've got their entertainment.
Got your tuxedo out.
And, it was very cool. Summer's a little bit more casual, you know. And then we jump the billionaire JP, the foreclosure king, the billionaire behind Donald Trump. And by the way, this is Greg Pallas talking. And the film we're talking about is The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And there's a book that goes with it, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Now, many of you say, oh, wait, I already have that book. That was 10 years ago, guys. It was number one in San Diego for a year. Mm-hmm. But now this is the sequel, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And again, if you go to gregpalace.com and you can get it, you know, bookstores, et cetera. But if you want to help this station keep your weapon of mass instruction on the air, KNSJ, go to gregpalace.com. Donate for the book or donate for the DVD and write KNSJ in the comments, KNSJ, and half the proceeds go to your weapon of mass instruction, KNSJ, and the other half to the Palace Investigative Fund so we can keep
very important.
So I can get more equipment. I have to replace that hat with the hole in it for the camera. And what we're trying to do now is tell the truth on these guys. So I want you to download the film, get the DVD, whatever way you can do it. Get the free comic book at gregpalace.com. The important thing is that we get the truth.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, voters, what I would urge everybody listening is that not just this election, but every election, check your voter registration status and keep checking it and checking it and checking it up until the last day you can register, because this is going on election after election where we see people get disenfranchised in many cases, wrongly in many cases, fraudulently. And Greg has really been at the forefront of investigating this and protecting your right to vote and your democracy.
Many of you may know John Perkins, the man who wrote Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He just saw this a couple days ago with me, and he told the audience, he said, this isn't the best documentary I've ever seen. It's the best film I've ever seen, and certainly the most important, and everyone should see it. And he said, I'm ashamed to say that I cried through the end of it. I said, everyone cries through the end of it. So I promise you, for the first hour, you will be laughing. Everyone laughs. And at the end, it's really heartbreaking. Yeah. And if you shed a few tears, I'll tell you what, Miriam, if you don't laugh at the beginning of the film and you don't cry at the end, I will pay for your therapy. And this is Greg Palast making that promise.
So, Greg, I know that we're out of time, but I really want to thank you for coming out tonight. And listeners, if you did tune in late, this is Greg Palast, the world-famous investigative reporter, author, and filmmaker. Go to his site, gregpalast.com. You can get a copy of his marvelous new film,
The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. You can also get the book of the same name until Patriot Act 3 when you're not allowed to read books anymore. But you can get the book, you can get the film on DVD. Donate and write in your donation, KNSJ, to keep your weapon of mass destruction in San Diego alive and on the air. This is Greg Palast proudly reporting for Rolling Stone, Democracy Now!, BBC Television, and KNSJ.
Fantastic. Greg, thank you so much for joining us here on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the network for social justice.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our Hideaway studio in East County. Today, we're going to be talking with some candidates running for the Cajon Valley School District. There are five candidates running for two seats in this race, and they are both open, meaning the incumbents are not running for re-election, so there's some real opportunity to make change. We have two of the candidates with us today, Devorah Fox and Ramona Irwin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam.
The other candidates who are running are Karen Clark Mejia, who is endorsed by the Republican Party and a lot of the conservative interests, Jim Miller, who's also endorsed by the Republican Party and various conservative interests, and a fifth candidate, Michael George, who we couldn't find. We did attempt to invite all of them. We invited Ms. Clark Mejia and Mr. Miller. They did not respond. And Mr. George does not have a website, has no contact information listed at the registrar's office, and did not submit a ballot statement. So unfortunately, we weren't able to include him. But at any rate, we are delighted to have the two of you join us on the show today. I would like to start by asking each of you to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for the board. Let's start with Devorah.
Hi, thank you, Miriam. My father was a teacher, so I first got, introduced to the professional end of teaching from my father, who was an auto mechanics teacher at a vocational school. Mm-hmm. And then later I went on and I taught also in LA. I taught English for middle school and high school students. I saw a lot of the problems that the kids had. And at that time, I really did not have the training I needed to handle the situations which they were facing. So I came down to San Diego and I got first a master's degree and then a doctorate in clinical psychology at Alliant International University. I taught over at Children's Outpatient Psychiatry, and I've also worked with the veterans over at the VA.
That sounds like those would be skills that could be very helpful, especially that psychological background in dealing with the students in our public schools. Ramona, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am currently a fourth-year student of social work at San Diego State University. This semester, I'm doing two internships, one teaching workers' rights issues to the immigrant children in Cesar Chavez High School. I'm also working with the elderly population at Jewish Family Services. So I'm busy with those things. I'm also the mom of a 17-year-old son who struggles with ADHD. I've been through the system and dealt with his IEP issues and all of his challenges with school over these years. And I've seen a lot of these same challenges happening with the students who don't fit into the parameters established in, you know, some office somewhere where this person doesn't know my child. And so going through the school system as the mom of a son with special needs has been challenging. Being a student myself, I understand the way it is to have mounds of homework and no time to do it and the stress. And I'm really looking forward to being involved in this community and helping to make our students ready for tomorrow's world.
Yeah. What do each of you consider the most important issue or issues in this district that you would like to address? And I would also like you to let our listeners know what you've seen about the district that you think is positive and what you think is most important to try to change. Ramona, let's let you take this one first.
So when I met with the superintendent and took a tour of the facilities, I was really impressed, and actually I was quite blown away at how progressive and innovative this school district is. They have TED Talks, they have a computer academy, they have a language academy. It's insanely up to date, and they're really forward thinking and gearing our kids towards what the future of tomorrow is. And so I'm really excited at what they're doing in the school district. I would like to see that more widely publicized, because when people know about a great school district, it grows a great community. People want to come and be a part of that community, and it can draw some really great new residents. Their challenges are, you know, we in East County, we have a lot of recent immigrants, and integrating the children into our social mores is something I know that's being worked on right now, and I'm excited about that because diversity is a strength. Especially, you know, it gives our kids an opportunity to practice for what they're going to be doing in the future when they go to work. So there are a lot of really great things about this district, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Okay, very good. And Devorah, let's hear from you.
Well, I agree with Ramona. Dr. Miyashura is fabulous, our school superintendent. They're doing so many innovative things. The TED Talks, whether I end up being on the school board or not, I want to be involved with the kids doing the TED Talks, coaching and helping them with that. They're also doing a reach out into the community. They're right now looking at the funds for that and a program for that so that children aren't isolated in school until they get out there into the real world. They're trying to build those connections as they go on. A kind of little funny story. I remember when I was a little kid and just started school, I went out shopping with my mom one weekend and I saw my school teacher there. And I said, Mommy, that's my teacher. What is she doing here? Because as a little one, the teacher was kind of in that room with the blackboard and the desks and everything else. So he's starting at an early age to help connect children to the real world and to work. Like Ramona, I think one of the areas of focus that we really need is on the cultural and the social skills. The kids who were born and raised here with parents who were born and raised here, they can learn so much from having people from all different countries and areas speaking different languages coming here so that they learn about the larger world without having to step out of their own town. At the same time, that does bring challenges to teach social skills. And a lot of the kids who are born here need those too.
I know I've heard you mention that you would like to see more done as far as English skills also to help the newcomers. And we should mention that the Cajon Valley School District is one of the most diverse districts in all of California, certainly in our region, with not only the many Latino students that they've long had, but now many refugees and immigrants coming here from the Middle East.
Yes, that's right. Right now, I'm working over at the Sunday school for my church, where everyone is from Mosul. And
Iraq,
all of my students for Sunday school have English really as a second language, and what is spoken at home is Arabic, Syriac, they have for church. So I use some of the Bible lessons and some of the Sunday school lessons to also reinforce their English speaking skills mm-hmm. and to reinforce cultural yeah. lessons as well.
Now I know that sometimes when people hear folks have very strong church ties. One of the questions in school board races that always arises is whether you believe in the separation of church and state. Do you think that things like creationism should be taught in the public school, or should that be reserved for being taught at the churches for those who believe that?
I believe it should be at the church. Even if you just take one religion, let's say Christianity, there are so many different denominations between and differences in the particulars of a belief, whether you're Orthodox, whether you're Catholic, mm-hmm. and only people from those churches, I feel, should really be teaching. I would not want anyone else teaching my child Christianity other than me and the church that I would bring my child to.
What are your views on that, Ramona?
I absolutely believe in the separation of church and state. That's the foundation of our country. I don't think it's the school's place to teach any sort of religious background or views, and that should completely be reserved for the religious beliefs of the parents.
Okay. We've mentioned that the two prominent candidates who are not here are endorsed by the conservative interests, the Republican Party, in one case, the Lincoln Club. We should mention, by the way, that Jim Miller did not get the Lincoln Club endorsement. Last time he ran, it was for judge, and they actually yanked that endorsement because he misled them during an interview and didn't mention that he'd been removed as a judge pro tem when he was running for a judicial seat. So that was interesting. But anyway, they're not here. You are. But I understand that the two of you collectively kind of come from the more moderate to progressive side of the political aisle. Can you tell us a little bit about your political views and or the prominent endorsements you'd like to share? Ramona, we'll let you go first.
Sure. I'm very progressive. I'm a liberal. When I was first going to run, I was kind of told not to maybe broadcast that so much. However, I realized in what I've been doing these last few months that there are a lot of progressive people out in East County, way more than I would have ever believed. So I got involved in this race because I got involved in Bernie Sanders' campaign several months ago, and my house ended up becoming kind of a hub for activity, and I've met hundreds of people over these last few months that have come through my house that are just as progressive and idealistic as I am. So I'm proud of my progressive values.
Okay, and I understand you're endorsed by the Progressive Democrats of America, and who else?
Yeah, the Progressive Democrats of America, Patrick Malloy, the Bernie Sanders Brigade.
Malloy is the Democrat running against Duncan Hunter for Congress. Devorah, how about you?
Well, I am endorsed by the Democrat Party. I'm very fond of Bernie. Also, I find him, his ethics, his honesty to be beyond compare. Joe Biden, whom I also love, always says, don't compare me to the Almighty, compare me to the alternative. And I am making the switch alongside of Bernie, and I am supporting the full Democrat ticket.
Okay, very good. Thank you for sharing that. This district has the Magnolia Elementary School included in its boundaries, and they had an issue of a toxic plume that was found under that school. They actually shut it down for a whole year, did some remediation, and reopened it. But I've heard from a couple of readers, an attorney that emailed us, who voiced concerns that he felt not enough had been done. If the two of you are elected, I don't know if either of you have had time to research that issue yet, but would you commit that you would take a good look at those studies on all sides of the issues to determine whether enough has been done to protect the health of the children in that school?
Absolutely.
Most certainly.
Okay, very good. I would like to ask each of you where you stand on Measure EE, that is the school bond proposition on the ballot for the Cajon Valley School District. Do you support or oppose it? Devorah.
Yes, I and the Democratic Party do support EE and also 55, which also supports funding for the schools.
That's the statewide ballot proposition. Okay, very good. Ramona, how about you?
Well, it's always been a rule of thumb of mine when I vote to support any measures that increase funding to our schools. I think there's no downside to a well-educated populace, and it takes money to do so. We just need to spend it wisely.
What else would you like our listeners to know that we haven't specifically asked you about?
Just politically, this year has been really, really interesting for me personally, getting involved in being a delegate for Bernie Sanders and witnessing a lot of the things I've seen over these last few months. And having come from a community, the beach community, where I was always involved, has really inspired me to embrace East County and become an active member and do something. You can't not do something when you know that there are things that need to be done. And it is up to us to get involved and to be those grassroots, ground-up candidates and get into the office, because the status quo, it's just not working. You know, it doesn't represent the population anymore. El Cajon is diverse now. It's not just one race. It's not just one religion. You know, there are multiple cultures at work here, and we all need to embrace everybody, and everybody's children matter, and everybody needs a voice and a vote and representation. And so that's why I'm here.
Thank you for sharing that. Devorah.
I had not really seen myself as going into politics or anything close to that before putting my name in for a seat on the school board. But I have to say that going door to door and meeting people in town, meeting my neighbors, going to, you know, the concerts that are on Main Street, going to the Oktoberfest, and just getting to talk to people and hear their concerns, I'm loving campaigning. So I never thought I would say that, but I just love it.
Okay. Well, very good. It's been a delight to have both of you here today, and I really want to thank you for taking the time to come out and speak with us today. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we've been speaking with Ramona Irwin and Devorah Fox, who are two candidates running for the Cajon Valley School District Board. Thanks so much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you, Miriam.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes the College Area Boo Parade and a Hollow Scream Extravaganza.
Plus, we'll tell you about coming attractions, including La Mesa's historical home tour, of Fall Plant Stravaganza, the Ramona Art and Wine Festival, the Trout Opener at Santee Lakes, a Veterans Day commemoration in El Cajon, the Weekhorst Museum's holiday lunch, and the Mother Goose Parade celebrates its 70th year of ushering in the holiday season in East County.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
Celebrating its 12th year, the Boulevard Boo Parade will be held on Saturday, October 29th, starting at 10 a.m., with over 70 entries of live entertainment marching on 1 mile of El Cajon Boulevard. The parade will entertain you with spooky ghouls, goblins, and ghosts, and witches to fill you with the Halloween spirit. Special guests from the last 12 years include local and national celebrities, political personalities, and a grand marshal. You can best view the Boo Parade from along the south side of El Cajon Boulevard between Rolando Boulevard and 60th Street. For more information, you can visit the College Area Business Improvement District website at collegeareabid.com.
Saps at Sea, a local Laurel and Hardy club, invites you to experience that wonderful time of year, the return of the Hollow Scream Sapstravaganza on October 29th at Williams Hall Trinity Church in Spring Valley. The event includes showings of the spooky cartoon Pink Plasma, in which the Pink Panther arrives at Dracula's castle for a good night's sleep. Then in the film Habeas Corpus, Laurel and Hardy arrive at the home of a mad scientist who needs a body from the local cemetery for his experiments. As an added treat, Russ Peck will perform a live musical score with sound effects. There will also be a surprise guest comedian in a showing of the Laurel and Hardy murder case, plus more. You can come in costume to win a prize and enjoy treats. For more chilling details, you can visit sapsatsea.com. Now for a preview of coming attractions.
The La Mesa Historic Home Tour takes place on Saturday, November 5th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The La Mesa Historical Society, in association with Modern San Diego and San Diego Home and Garden, invites you to a showcase of 7 hidden jewels nestled in the hillside of Mount Helix. Because the tour visits private homes in the nature of the mid-century architecture, this tour is not ADA compliant. Early reservations are recommended as this tour sells out. A shuttle service will be provided. For tickets and details, you can check out lamesahistory.com.
The 4th Annual Ramona Art and Wine Festival will be held on November 5th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. This year, the event is at the Begent Ranch in Ramona. Guests can savor vintages from local wineries, sample foods from local restaurants and caterers, shop for artwork from local artists, and bid on hand-painted vine barrels, all to benefit the Ramona Heart Mural Project. For tickets and details, visit ramonaartandwinefest.net.
The Water Conservation Garden at Cuyamaca College in Rancho San Diego hosts its annual Fall Plant Extravaganza on Saturday, November 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The event aims to help you make the most out of the fall planting season with a plentiful mix of gardening experts and plants offered by local growers and nurseries. Visitors can attend workshops on gardening-related topics led by experts, plus visit exhibits staffed by garden doctors, garden docents, and guest exhibitors to learn about water-saving gardening, edible gardening, compost making, gardening for butterflies, and more. Local water agencies will share money-saving rebate opportunities for residents replacing thirsty landscape with those that save water and are beautiful, too. Personalized attention can be found at the Ask the Designers area for in-depth landscape design advice. Plus, the garden's gift shop will be overflowing with unique nature-inspired treasures perfect for gift-giving. For more information, visit thegarden.org.
Honoring our veterans, El Cajon's annual Veterans Day ceremony will be held on November 11th from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at Centennial Plaza. The event includes music from students from Valhalla High School and a color guard presentation by Marines from Miramar.
2,500 pounds of rainbow trout will be stocked for the trout opener at Santee Lakes on November 5th from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Prizes for largest fish as well as tagged fish. A permit from the general store is all you need, no state license required. For directions to the lake, visit santeelakes.com.
On Sunday, November 20th, the Mother Goose Parade will again march down Main Street for the 70th year. Also known as the Children's Parade, it begins at 1 p.m. See over 100 colorful and exciting parade entries, including floats, marching bands, clowns, equestrians, local dignitaries, and Santa Claus. The route is downtown Main Street from El Cajon Boulevard eastbound to First Street. This popular parade is one of the largest parades in Southern California and a wonderful way to officially kick off the holiday season. You can also enjoy holiday lights on Main Street after the parade. To learn more, you can visit mothergooseparade.org.
The Weighorst Museum in El Cajon invites you to welcome the holidays at its annual holiday luncheon on Thursday, November 17th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can enjoy a catered luncheon by Cupid's Catering, an opportunity drawing, and view paintings and sculptures by famous Western artist Olaf Weighorst. For tickets, you can visit weighorstmuseum.org. That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Liz Alper, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.